This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be together in this time of worship, and my joy to welcome those of you who are here in the sanctuary for worship and those who are joining us over live stream. We are one in the Spirit and so glad to be together. Lots of wonderful things to look forward to in this time of worship. I would invite all of us to register our attendance and let us know that you're with us. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link available in the chat where you can register. And here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads on the center aisle. And as they make their way down the row and you sign in, make sure and sign. Turn them back toward the center aisle and notice the names of the friends sitting around you and take the opportunity to meet someone new today. A few updates and announcements as we gather. We have, as of this week, gone to a mask optional policy. Our COVID task force, in their wonderful wisdom and care, has said that we could move forward in that direction. And so we will not require masks on Sunday mornings. Monday through Friday during the week, because we have a preschool, we do ask that if you're in the common spaces of the hallways and things, that you do wear a mask. And then once you get to your destination, someone's office or a meeting or whatever, you're free to remove it if you choose. We also have designated the transept here as a mask-only area in case you would like to wear a mask and would feel more comfortable being in the presence only close by with folks who are wearing masks. That's a space for you to do that. We are now, as of this week, beginning the 40-day season of Lent. And as you came in this morning, perhaps you saw we have some devotional guides for you to use, a devotional every day as we go through the journey of these 40 days. The season begins on Wednesday. On Tuesday night, prior to the beginning of Lent, we have a great tradition here at West End. We have a big pancake supper for Shrove Tuesday, and then we come into the sanctuary for Jazz Mass. That service begins at 6:30. We have a couple of posters that have the wrong time, but the service does begin at 6:30. It will be live streamed and in person. We have a New Orleans jazz ensemble. It is a wonderful time of joy and fun. And then on Ash Wednesday, we'll gather for worship at noon and at 6 p.m., both live stream and in person, to begin the journey of Lent and self-reflection as we move toward the cross and to Easter Sunday. Also during Lent on Thursdays, we have concerts at noon here in the sanctuary, followed by lunch, and there are details about that in your bulletin this morning. We hope you'll join us on Thursdays. But Lent has not quite begun, and this morning, we finish off our series, Love Always, as we have explored together the Apostle Paul's teachings around love. So let us celebrate the unending, unconditional power of love moving toward us at all times through the love of our God.
Thank you. Beloved of God, let love renew your soul. Beloved of God, embrace love that is timeless and eternal.
The love God has for us is deeper than emotions, older than memory, larger than sky.
Love never ends. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are and what we carry is held within God's perfect love. You, loving God, have welcomed us into your family. By the gift of your only child, you claim us as your children, giving us the inheritance of Christ, peace, compassion, love, and love. Forgive us for disregarding what you have offered to us. Your grace pardons us. Yet we pursue fleeting pleasures. You give gentleness and love, yet we choose bitterness and self-centeredness. Thank you for your love that fills the divide between our poverty and your generosity. Your love bears all, believes all, hopes all, and endures all. Your love never ends. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You can text your friend if you're on the internet, or if you're here, you can still text your friend. Give elbow bumps, say hello. The peace of Christ be with you, and also with you.
Thank you.
great joys of the church is the baptism of children, this morning Josh and Mary Catherine Roberts bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Josh and Mary Catherine, I ask you on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
I do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
My family in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. And when you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. And in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. And what name have you given your son?
James Bryant Roberts.
James Bryant Roberts. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit who sustains and comforts you all the days of your life. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now we're going to invite all of you and Pastor Brandon to place a hand on, one more thing. We're going to place a hand on him and pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in his life. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. And now we're going to step over here and let the congregation, both in the sanctuary and online, see you a little more closely as we make our promises to you.
Will the congregation please stand and face James Bryant? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend James Bryant to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, James Bryant, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today is a lesson from the New Testament, from the book of Romans. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
taking a seat, I would invite any children who are here and would like to come up for a moment with me. That would be great. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screen and we'll wave to you at home. Great to see everybody. Thank you for those who sang this morning. What a wonderful gift that was to all of us. So I'm wondering, have any of you ever seen the ocean? Have you seen the ocean? Yeah, maybe some not yet, haven't seen it. Look out there. How many of you have seen the ocean? Look at all those people who've seen the ocean. Well, if you haven't seen the ocean, it is always moving. There are always waves. And one of the things that I love to do when I go to visit the ocean I can't surf. I do like to swim. I can't surf, but I do like to swim. But I like to sit on the beach and watch the waves come up because they never stop. So I want to invite you to close your eyes and imagine that we're at the beach together. And we're sitting at the beach and the waves are hitting the sand. They maybe make a sound of the waves with me. Whoosh, whoosh. And open your eyes. So those waves never ever stop. And you know what? That makes me think about God's love. We just heard a story from the Bible where they said that God's love never ever stops. God always, always loves us. Yeah, never ever stops. Yeah, we like to go to the beach too. And so just the waves are constantly going and they never, ever, ever stop. And that's the same with God's love. God's love never, ever stops. God will never, ever stop loving you or stop loving me or stop loving you or stop loving the world. God's love is constant. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for loving us, that we can know you always, always will love us no matter what. Help us to love you, to love ourselves, and to love other people with that same kind of love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being up here with me. And if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Nancy to Children's Church. And if you're not, you can return and sit with family or friends. You know, it's not a bad practice every now and then to just close your eyes and imagine you're at the beach. It's good therapy sometimes. So this is the last Sunday in the worship series we've been walking through called Love Always. We've been taking our time going phrase by phrase through the verses of Paul's letter to the Corinthians that are printed on the front of your bulletin if you are here in the sanctuary. Just a few verses from that 13th chapter of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And they've been helping us explore what it means to love as God loves, to live a life that's shaped by the agape love of God that never ceases to move toward us like the waves of the ocean, that loves us unconditionally, that never gives up on us, and that calls us to love and to grow in that love all of our days. One of the reasons I was so drawn to exploring these verses of Paul's letter is because I truly believe at the deepest core of my being that God is love and that our life with God is all about love. It must be grounded in that unconditional love. And that as we explore these three words, love never ends, right at the end of these verses of Paul, we hear that echo again. Love never ends. It never stops, never gives up on us. Actually, if we look at the original Greek of this last phrase, love never ends, I'm not sure that that's the best translation in English. The actual word is love never ekpipte, which literally means to fall off or to fall out. And so in some ways, a better translation is love never fails. Love never droops. Love never runs out of steam. David and I went on Thursday night to a Predators game. We had some church members who have season tickets and couldn't go, and they gave us their tickets. And during the, it's not halftime, what's it called? The period between the whatevers, when they stopped playing for a minute. I've been to two hockey games in my life, okay? I love it, though. Anyway, they had this competition where they had three people from the crowd who came and tried to make a goal by standing at one end of the court in one goal and hitting the puck to see if they could make it in the opposite goal. Nobody did, unfortunately, because if someone had done that, they would have gotten $35,000. But the last guy got really close. He got up there and he hit the puck and it went zoom, and it was right, just centered perfectly, and it just went, and then it started to slow down, and it stopped like that far from the goal. That's ekpipte. That's falling off. That's running out of steam. That is not love. Love never falls. Love never fails. Love never stops moving toward us. And we hear Paul explore that even more deeply in the 8th chapter of Romans, when he says with such poetic and transcendent words that there is nothing in heaven or on earth that will ever cause God's love to stop. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not poverty or nakedness or war, not powers or rulers, or angels, or principalities, or height, or depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I feel like if we hear nothing else in church on Sunday morning, we need to hear that message, that God will never stop loving us, that love never fails. And yet, this past week, I've had some questions about that. I've wrestled with that a little bit. If love is the greatest power there is on earth, if we are called to live out of love always, what does that look like in a moment like ours? As this week we all watched with horror as soldiers from Russia invaded Ukraine, and we see this kind of aggression and violence and power play in our world. What does it mean when we're confronted in our lives with a bully or with abuse? What does love mean? Is love strong enough? Are there times when we just have to set love aside and do something else? Some of you heard me tell this story, but when our son Tate was little, he loved everything Star Wars. From age 6 to about age 12, it was all lightsabers and blasters and Millennium Falcons and action figures. And I remember one Sunday afternoon, we were talking about church, and I said, well, Tate, what'd you learn in Sunday school today? And he said, well, we talked about love and how God is love, and we're all supposed to love everybody, and love is great. And then he paused and said, but you know, sometimes love isn't good enough, so sometimes you need a blaster. And I chuckled at the time, but I thought, is that really what we think? Is love a nice idea, a nice ideal? But when it comes right down to it, navigating the world we live in, sometimes you got to set down love and pick up a blaster or pick up some other way of being. But then I'm drawn back to these words from Romans that Paul wrote. And I hear them in a different way this week. Every time I've read them in the past, hundreds of times that I've read these words at funerals and weddings and in worship and in my own private devotion, I've thought about God's unconditional love coming toward us. There is nothing that will ever make God stop loving us. But what if implied in this is also the reminder that there is nothing that should ever separate us from loving others? There's no reason, no excuse. in heaven or on earth that would ever cause us to set aside love. Paul says in other ways, we can do all the right things in all the right places, but if we do not have love, then we are nothing. We are giving up who we are as followers of Jesus. So what does that mean in a time like ours, in situations like we face? I think part of my struggle is I sometimes forget the power of love and what love looks like at times. If you're like me, sometimes we get into this notion that love is gentle and kind and sort of passive, and it's not loving to say hard things to people or to hold people accountable, or that's somehow the Christian way. But the best place to start is to look at Jesus. Jesus, who was willing to go into the temple and turn over the tables and with a fiery speech call out the temple hierarchy for the way they were exploiting the people, to hold them accountable for their actions, to remind them that they were teaching a way that was not God's way. Jesus, who stood between a woman who had been shamed by the crowd for being caught in adultery, and looked at her accusers in the eye as they held their stones ready to kill her, and pointed out their hypocrisy, so much so that they dropped their weapons. Jesus, who stood before Pilate and spoke the truth to power. Jesus' love was not weak or passive. Jesus would not stand by and let a bully hurt a vulnerable person or a vulnerable group of people. I think of Paul, who wrote these words that we're studying this morning, who had suffered floggings and stonings and had been kicked out of cities and exiled and persecuted in all different ways, but continued again and again to stand up to empire and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, though he had been forbidden to do so. Love looks like that. Love looks like Harriet Tubman, who knew her own belovedness so deeply that she could not accept her enslavement as God's will. And so with courage, she escaped. And with even greater courage, returned again and again to the land of her captivity to set others free, who through subversion and strategy brought others to freedom and worked to build God's beloved community in spite of the forces aligned against her. Love looks like that. Love looks like a family that has the courage to gather around a family member and say, you need help, and we're not going to participate in your dysfunction anymore until you get that help, whether through treatment or therapy or whatever it might be. Love looks like a motorcycle gang standing and giving a line of protection to a family remembering the life of a loved one at a funeral, to protect them from the shouts and taunts of protesters yelling at them. Love is stronger than death. Love does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love answers the call to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, as Josh and Mary Catherine promised at the baptism this morning. Love never fails. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? I believe that the example of Jesus and the teachings of Paul and the traditions of our church are trying to tell us that there is never a time when we can set love aside. If we do that, then we've given up our calling and our unique voice in this world. It's not easy. It's not easy discerning what love asks of us. In moments like these in our history, in our everyday living and relationships, it takes discernment and prayer and community to help us and to hold us accountable and to discern with us. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we can never stop asking the question, what does love ask of me? Because love never fails. Amen.
As a people who trust that God's love never fails, I invite you to rise in body or spirit and join your voices with one another as we affirm our faith with our creed found on 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. There are several ways that you can share prayer concerns with our pastoral team if you would like for us to pray for them throughout the week. One way is to do that through our website. So if you're worshiping with us online this morning, that's a great way to submit prayer concerns. And you can follow the link on our website under Contact Us. So you click on Contact Us and then submit your prayer concern there. Of course, if you're worshiping here in the sanctuary, if submitting a prayer request online is easiest, you can do that as well. But you can also find one of the gray cards that's located in the pew racks in front of you, and you may write your prayer concern on there and then drop them in the offering boxes that are in the narthex and in Reed Hall as you exit this morning. Our prayers of love and sympathy are with church member Angela Williams, whose father, Alan Williams, passed away on Wednesday, February 23rd, and services will be held at Brentwood United Methodist on Monday. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Ever-present and never-failing God, if ever we needed to know and believe that your love never ends, it seems especially crucial as we come to you in prayer this morning. We pray fervently this day that your divine love would truly shape our world. We pray that your guiding presence would bring a new sense of your universal love for each of us and for this entire creation. May you enter human hearts and remind us of our commonality, our interconnectedness, and our mutual fates as those who rise or fall together. We pray that where the forces of hatred, divisiveness, and violence have taken hold, that you would turn us toward loving kindness, mutuality, compassion, and care. Merciful God, we pray most especially for our siblings in Ukraine and Russia. We pray that the political spectacle of imperialism and conquest is exposed for the evil that it is. We pray that the millions of people caught up in bloodshed and oppression beyond their control will find the help that they need, will persevere amid hardship and struggle, and will emerge from war and destruction as messengers of courage, hope, and human dignity. Lord of the crucifixion, you know the full pain of human suffering. You also know the brutal consequences of human attempts to wield coercion, power, and control over others. Help us remember that wherever others are persecuted, are brought low, and even killed, you are there in solidarity and in sorrow. We pray that all who are damaged or destroyed by hatred and violence would share in the power of your resurrection. We pray that life and love will indeed win out in the end. And while we pray for our international siblings in a time of crisis brought on by cold and callous cruelty, we also pray that you would help us search our own hearts humbly for the places we are also tempted to control, to vilify, and to hurt others. As the psalmist writes, "You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways." We pray this week for the LGBTQ+ community, and we pray especially this day for trans youth and young people and their families who increasingly face laws and legislation that make their lives and the lives of their families more difficult. We pray for a day when they are simply affirmed in their holy and unique createdness. We pray for others who find themselves on the underside of power in our culture. We pray for all who struggle in body, mind, and spirit, both near and far. And we pray for ourselves that we would indeed experience your love without end. We bring these and other concerns that are on our hearts and minds in a moment of silent prayer. And now, as people of your abiding love, we pray as Jesus taught us by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation, and so we simply invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. Anything that you give will help us continue our vital ministries here in our community and throughout the world. For those of you worshiping online, you may give via the options listed in the chat or on the screen. And those of you here in person may also give online, but you can also leave physical donations in those same offering boxes I mentioned a few moments ago that are in the narthex and in Reed Hall when you make your way out of the service this morning. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God who loves us unconditionally.
And I'd like to invite those who are joining to come forward. It is our joy to welcome these folks this morning. I'll begin by introducing Alexandra White. Alexandra is married to West End member Lee White. She's a certified nurse midwife and a nurse practitioner with Vanderbilt Medical Center, and she's transferring from First Presbyterian Church in Washington, North Carolina. Next, we have Beth and John Bernard. They recently moved here from Tipton, Georgia, following John's retirement from the University of Georgia in animal and dairy science. Beth loves reading, cooking, and playing pickleball. They have three adult children, and they are transferring from Tipton First United Methodist Church. And last but not least, Marshall Ballard. Marshall recently moved here from Princeton, Texas. He loves making people happy and helping out in the community, and he's particularly interested in drama ministries. Marshall is transferring from Celebration Community Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Marshall and Alexandra, this first question is for you. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Would the congregation please rise in body and in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members. Family of God, Marshall, Beth, John, and Alexandra are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite those of you in the sanctuary to greet these folks through the doors to your right following the service. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
the healing of the nations, may each of us know our own belovedness. For the healing of the nations, may we rest assured in the unconditional, ever-flowing, never-ending love of God. For the healing of the nations, may we go to live that love. Amen.